When you get swirled into your circumstances and the self-pity, you're focused all about you. And see, God came to break that all apart. And instead of a downward spiral, putting us on an upward spiral and focusing on Him. That downward spiral, man, leaves you in a bad place. It can lead you to horrible places where you do horrible things. But this upward spiral points you to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You can always focus on what's wrong with your life and what's messed up, or you can focus on the goodness of God. It's a choice.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee is teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we also have in the studio with us one of David McGee's assisting pastors. Pastor Neil, welcome.
All right, listeners, grab your Bible or open up your Bible app on your phone and get to 1 Samuel chapter 22, as we're going to be talking about what to do in tough times. We all have those things that we go through, and we can either focus on the difficulty or we can focus on the good. And Pastor David's going to be sharing a little bit about that today.
So let's listen as David McGee teaches verse by verse, continuing through 1 Samuel chapter 22.
So tonight we are in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And what's going on here is David has been anointed as king, but Saul has not yet been removed as king. So Saul is still kind of a usurper that's in charge, and David at this point is on the run. He is a king kind of in hiding that at some point in the future will reign and rule. And we kind of see even in that a picture of Jesus, who right now is a king who is, he's in the picture, he is active on planet Earth, but right now, obviously, Satan has a lot of stuff going on the planet, but at some point in the future, praise God, we can look forward to the fact that Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this book. Lord, it's so much more than words written on a page. Lord, and we ask that you would take these words and these letters and that you would write them on our hearts tonight. Lord, you know where each and every person in here is with their relationship with you. I just ask that you would do a work in and amongst us tonight. Lord, we know that you desire to teach us lovingly, patiently, kindly. Lord, we just ask that you would make us willing to learn from you. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to your word and open your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now, David's a brave guy. David took on Goliath. He obviously had a lot of courage. And yet, when we come to this part of the story, you see what David's doing? David's on the run. Why? Because David's scared? No, because you know what? There's a time to run. If you think you should always stand and fight, you're wrong. You shouldn't always stand and fight. There will be a time in your life where you should run away from whatever's going on. Some of you are looking with puzzled looks, but let me refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, love this verse. You should mark this verse down. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's what that verse means. God will give you a way out. And sometimes if we keep ourselves in a situation, we're going to get to the place where we're not able to bear the temptation. But God gives us an open door. He gives us a way out. The thing is, we have to take it. Verse 3, then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Verse 5, Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Herath. You see, the Lord warned David through the prophet Gad. Now, we're going to read later, Gad's going to join David as a prophet and be a prophet in David's court and also help him to get worship in the temple established. Always remember, though, God will never warn you needlessly. God will never warn you needlessly. So when there's a warning, you come across it in Scripture, or maybe a caring brother or sister says something to you. It says, "Hey, you need to be careful of this," or "Look out for that." Make sure that you are hearing from God. Now, I'm not saying go around paranoid with every warning that happens. And certainly if you watch the news, you know, you could really freak out on this concept. But be aware that God will warn you. Now, this is cool. Because look what he says. He says, "Don't stay in the stronghold, but depart and go to the land of Judah." He's talking about the land of Israel, specifically that land that was allocated to the tribe of Judah. Well, do you happen to remember or do you know what Judah means in Hebrew? It means praise. Praise. And so Gad is saying, "Hey, quit hiding out and go to the land of praise." I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're just having a tough time. And you know, it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on. And then you put on a praise CD. Man, it just makes all the difference in the world. Friend, use that. Use that. See, because here's the deal. The enemy wants to mess you up. And when you get in an emotional tizzy and start having a tantrum and you're thinking about me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity, then you get all caught up into this. But see, then if you pop a CD in and you start worshiping God, do you know what the enemy just saw? That he was stumbling you, but that stumbling led you to worship. Now, how long do you think he's going to keep using that tactic? Because you worshiping God is like the last thing that he desires to happen. And I know quite frankly, sometimes when I come up here to do worship, man, it's like, you know, and I'm up here worshiping God, and sometimes I close my eyes and, you know, sometimes I open them like, "Oh, wow, there's people here," you know, because I just, you know, it's just me and the Lord sometimes. And I think that's the way it should be. But when you're going through that tough time, praise the Lord. Put on, you know, have that worship CD, have that praise CD, have that contemporary Christian CD that you put in that draws you out of yourself and points you towards God. The Bible talks about songs of deliverance. Psalm 32:7. It says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Start singing these songs and, man, you just get up out of the stuff, the muck and the mire, and you're thinking about the Lord again. And we need that. We need that. I'm willing to admit I really needed the worship this evening. And maybe that, you know, maybe you're going, "Well, what do you mean you need worship?" That we're built, we're created to worship God. And to step out of ourselves and begin to worship God and focus about God, man, there's nothing like that in the world. And verse 6, "And when Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah with his spear in his hand and all his servants standing about him." Now, if you've been studying this book for very long with us, the spear in the hand is a bad sign. You know, I mean, and Saul is going through most of his life apparently holding this spear. That's a bad thing. You know why? Because people that hold spears tend to throw spears. Are you holding spears? Oh, every one of us are. Every one of us has certain spears that we go to when we get confronted or go through a tough time, and, you know, we've got our special spears. Some of them are named, you know. Somebody can start to get on us, or something can happen, and, you know, and there's the, you know, "My parents didn't love me enough" spear. You can pull out that one and throw it at somebody, and "It's not my fault" spear, or, you know, just gossip and, you know, point your finger at somebody else that maybe did something worse than you. You can pull that spear out and throw it at people. But you realize then you're leaning on the spear. And when you're leaning on the Spirit, you know what you're not leaning on? You're not leaning on God. Which is more dependable? Your spear or God? See, we have to learn to let go of our spears and not to trust our spears. That's a scary thing. It is. I understand that. I understand. I've been in a predicament where, you know, somebody says this, and actually, you know, I might even have a good spear, you know, that I have, that I can defend myself or whatever, but I have to choose not to throw that spear. You know why? Because once I start throwing spears, it's just easy to do that every time. And sooner or later, I'm going to throw the spear at a wrong time, in the wrong place. I'm going to hurt somebody. And it's probably going to be somebody I care about. The life lesson here, I should let go of the spears in my life and lean on God. I should let go of the spears in my life and lean on God. What are the spears in your life? Is it gossiping about people? Is it judgmental attitudes towards people who may be younger in the faith or somebody that stumbled? Or what is it? Each of us have our own answer. But one thing's for sure, carrying around a spear will make you real tired. It'll wear you out. And you shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there's not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." I think it's safe to say Saul's pretty much freaking out at this point. He's become paranoid. He's definitely focused on himself. I understand something. I'm not sure there's anything more demonic than self-pity. Because in that instance, where's your focus? It's on you. So your focus is not on God. It's not on others. It's on what's wrong with you and what other people have done to you and how other people have it better than you. That's a stronghold. And understand, part of the whole creed of Satanism, if you will, is do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about what God's law says or if it's going to hurt anybody. You do what you want to do. And what happens is sometimes we get in this, notice I'm using the word we, and say y'all. I said we. We get in this thing of we're swirling in this self-pity. And does that ever make anything better? No. As soon as we come across somebody, you know, oh, how you doing? You know, and we start to do all this thing. And I went to a time management seminar one time, and the guy said, "Man, don't do that." He told a great story. I'll tell it real quick. Two guys on the way to work. They both have flat tires. First guy has a flat tire, gets really mad, gets out of the car, slams the door, starts walking around the car kicking rocks, and he's just upset. And it's 10 minutes before he even opens the trunk to get the jack out. Then he gets the jack out and, you know, and kicks it a couple of times and hollers because nobody's stopping to help him, you know. And so finally he gets the tire changed and he gets to work. And, you know, the lady at the front desk says, how are you doing this morning? How am I doing? I had a flat tire. You know. Then he goes back to his office. Somebody walks past the office. Hey, how you doing? How am I doing? I had a flat tire this morning. And he goes to lunch, and the guy at lunch says, how you doing? Flat tire, you know. And he goes home and say, you know, his wife, how was your day? How was my day? Flat tire. You see what this guy did? He relived the event like half a dozen times. Second guy has a flat tire. He gets out, looks at it, and goes, well, I guess if you're going to drive cars, you're going to have flat tires. He changes the tire, goes in. Lady front desk says, how's you doing? I'm doing good, doing fine. And guy comes by his office, how you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing? I'm fine. Goes to lunch. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Goes home. How was your day? Had a good day, honey. Hope you had a good day. See the difference? Same event. But how they handled it was very different. The guy went on to say, you know, well, don't share a lot of that stuff with people because, you know, as you're sharing that kind of thing with people, you know, 85% of them are glad it's happening to you. Ten 10% don't care. And 5% really do care about you, and why would you ruin their day with your bad news? See, because once you get in this swirl of self-pity, you begin this downward spiral of emotions. And when you're involved in self-pity, friend, you're not focusing on God. You're focusing on yourself. And let me promise you, there's always somebody else that has it much worse than you do. And that was brought to home as I heard so many missionary stories in the past week. Stories that just break your heart. In Bogota, Colombia, there's a lot of families that they turn their children out when they're 6, 7, 8 years old. So you can't live here anymore. We're not feeding you. Another story of a woman who became a believer because of one of these churches that have been established. And a lot of times in Asia, they will steal children. They will steal them and make beggars out of them. But what they have discovered is that children make better beggars when they've been maimed. This woman was going to her church saying, you know, pray for me. My son is gone. I can't find him. He's been kidnapped and he's probably been turned into a beggar. They were praying for her, supporting her and being there for her. And months later, she was in the market and she heard a voice. And she knew before she turned around that it was her son. But she wasn't prepared for what she was about to see. Because when she turned to face her son, he was on a small cart with wheels. Because they had cut off his arms and his legs so that he would beg in the streets. And the woman went and scooped up her son in her arms and went to the church and they prayed for her and helped her and they were there for her. And to stop and consider that there's something that we're doing to influence somebody else on the other side of the world, that somebody could be there for this lady during that time. But let me ask you a real cutting question. After hearing something like that, what's so tragic and bad in your life again? See, it has a lot to do with perspective, doesn't it? And when you get swirled into your circumstances and this self-pity, you're focused all about you. And see, God came to break that all apart. And instead of a downward spiral, putting us on an upward spiral and focusing on Him. I've done both. That downward spiral, man, leaves you in a bad place. It can lead you to horrible places where you do horrible things. But this upward spiral points you to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Focus on God during this time. The life lesson here, do not focus on what is wrong in my life, but focus on God and His goodness. Do not focus on what is wrong in my life, but focus on God and His goodness. In this situation, Saul is focused on himself and what is wrong with his life. But yet, at this point, he has all these men that are still with him. And we've seen that Saul is really messed up. Saul has been a horrible leader, and yet there's still people following him that are loyal to him. And he should have said, you know, guys, I really appreciate you still being here. But what was he doing? Ah, you're with David. Calls him son of Jesse. That was kind of a slam because Jesse was a simple man. He was a farmer, and that's why Saul is saying, son of Jesse, kind of slamming him. But you can always focus on what's wrong with your life and what's messed up, or you can focus on the goodness of God. It's a choice. It is a choice. Verse 9, then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Doeg lied. He lied. Now, he says three things here. He said, they gave him provisions and they gave him the sword. That much is true. But the really treacherous thing he laid out, he inquired of the Lord for him. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Is Doeg reporting the fact? Some of them. But see, that's what happens sometimes in conversations, isn't it? That's why gossip is so malicious. It's rare in gossip that somebody simply presents the facts. They have their unique little twist or their interpretation of the facts that they combine with the facts, and then it all seems much more sinister. And certainly in our lives, we've been in positions where we saw something, well, that looks bad, that looks weird, and then later on we find out it wasn't that bad and it wasn't that weird. Now, hopefully you didn't tell anybody else how bad or how weird you thought it was, or you felt really sheepish later. Well, Doeg's being a liar. And that's what happens when it gossip. There's a lot of times there's half-truths and sometimes outright lies mixed in with it. Verse 11. So the king sent, if I ever skip a verse and just reading through, y'all are deputized and authorized to bring my attention to. I don't ever intend to, but if I do, do it while I'm in the meeting, okay? Verse 11. So the king sent to Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king, and Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." He answered, "Here I am, my lord." And then Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day?" The background information, David went to this place called Nob, and the priest said, "Hey, what are you doing out by yourself?" And David lied. David said, "Well, I'm on a mission from the king." And, you know, Ahimelech didn't have the details. And he didn't understand what was going on. And David should not have done that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But had David told Ahimelech could have made the decision either to go ahead and give David provisions and give David safety or to not. And then he would have been prepared for this meeting with Saul. But you know what's really interesting? Watch Ahimelech's response, because it's not what you would think it would be. In verse 14, "So Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, and who is the king's son-in-law who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house?'" The first thing Ahimelech does is defends David. He doesn't defend himself. What an awesome man this is. I mean, it is the natural fleshly inclination to defend yourself in a situation like this. But Ahimelech says, "Hey, who's more faithful than David?" And he points out the fact to Saul that, you know what, David has been faithful to you. Verse 15. "Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father, for your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much." See, here's the deal. In some of the commentaries, they say, well, you know, maybe he did inquire. No. You've got Doeg and you've got Ahimelech. Ahimelech says he didn't do it. In the same breath, he's saying David's faithful. I believe Ahimelech more than I believe Doeg. But what happens? Verse 16. "And the king said, 'You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house.'" Death seems to follow those who carry spears around, looking for what's wrong with the other person. And people get hurt. A sad thing is, a lot of times the people who get hurt the worst are the people that are carrying the spears. And the people around them, their loved ones, their friends, their brothers and sisters in the Lord, in their fellowship, and a lot of innocent bystanders get hurt. We need to practice putting our spears down.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.